My homily today is the fifth and final installment of my message series that began on the first Sunday of Lent. And so we're going to wrap things up today. The overarching focus is on priorities. If you remember the first Sunday, I think it was here, I talked about the importance of prioritizing in our lives. We need to take charge of our lives by making priorities and following through on them. We feel out of control because of COVID. We think our life has been taken away, but in fact, we can take it right back by setting our priorities and following through on them. And as we follow through on them, people are going to see what's important in our lives. What's important will be our priorities. If our relationship with God is important, we're going to follow through on it. So on that first Sunday of Lent, we have Jesus showing us how he followed through on his priorities. He went into the desert for 40 days and 40 nights to be with his Father. That was his priority, his relationship with the Father. And then as he came out from the desert, he continued living that priority by doing the will of the Father, by preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." So people looking at Jesus can say, ah, he had priorities and he followed through on them. The question for us is, do we do the same? And there was a download which you can still get online as a kind of a worksheet for that first homily and for every other homily. But priorities, do we set our priorities? Do we follow through on them? And if not, we need to do that so that we are really running our lives, so that we're choosing what's important in our lives and doing it. On the second Sunday, I talked about identity. What is our identity? In what or in whom is our identity rooted? Because that's very important if we want to follow through on our priorities. We got to know who we are. Now, as Christians, our identity is rooted in God. It's rooted in God. Through baptism, we become the sons and daughters of God. Adopted sons and daughters, but sons and daughters nonetheless. And on that second Sunday, we had Jesus going up to Mount Tabor. And what did God the Father say? He said, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." So God says that about us too. We are his beloved sons and daughters. That's our identity. It's not some ordinary identity that comes from something I have achieved, but rather it comes from the Father. So I am God's beloved son. You are beloved God's beloved sons and daughters. That's our identity. And because we are related to God, we have access to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Because God wants us to have these gifts so that we can work with him in bringing salvation to other people. So we should have confidence in who we are, because it's all rooted in God. The third Sunday was about listening, the importance of listening, listening to God, particularly through the scriptures. Because if we want to know who this God is, how he wants us to draw closer to him, how he wants us to live a life as his sons and daughters, we've got to know about him. So to listen to the scriptures, and one of the ways I suggested we could start our prayer, whenever we do it, is by saying what Samuel the prophet said, "Speak, your servant is listening." Someone kept calling him, and finally he was told, next time it happens, simply say, "Speak, your servant is listening." What a great way to begin our prayer. But it's a way of recognizing that we need to listen to God so that we can know who we are, what our priorities are supposed to be, and what we're supposed to be doing with the gifts God has given us so that we can go forth and do what we're called to do. And last week I talked about believing. Do we really believe what we say we believe? When we say the creed, do we really believe that it's true? But that's what we're supposed to be doing, to say, "I do believe," not in a sort of hopeful or wishful way, but this is true. So my identity in Christ is true. I can hear God in prayer. I can set my priorities, and I can do great things because of the power of God in my life. So we have great things to do, and the more we know our identity, set our priorities, listen to God, we're going to be able to do them. Now, this week, the word that I'm focusing on is authority. Authority. Jesus had authority, right? He had authority. In fact, people say, Jesus speaks with authority, not like the scribes and the Pharisees. What they're saying is, this guy doesn't need these scribes and Pharisees to tell him what is true or not true. He's claiming authority to say this is true. And he'll say, you have heard it said, but I say to you. So he's claiming authority, the authority that comes from God the Father. And he's making it clear that what he says is true, it's rooted in the Father, and therefore you can accept it and believe it because of the authority that God has given to Jesus. And in the gospel today, we hear that rumbling, we hear that voice, and God the Father saying, I have glorified your name and I will do it again. There again, God is affirming that Jesus has the authority of God the Father to go and preach the gospel and to save the world. So the question for us is, do we have authority? Well, the answer obviously is yes. Again, if we look at who we are in our lives as Christians, if we look at our baptisms, we get authority to preach. We get authority to rule in the sense of guiding people. We get authority to lead people in prayer. Because in baptism, we are anointed to be priests, prophets, and kings. That there's our authority right there. We're anointed. The holy oil is put on our heads because we are becoming priests, prophets, and kings. As priests, what do priests do? They lead people in prayer. Every single one of us through baptism has been given the authority to go forth and lead people in prayer. Doesn't come from the Pope, doesn't come from Father Lunkel, doesn't come from me, comes directly from God. Every single one of us here through baptism has the authority to lead people in prayer. We have the authority to be prophets. Prophets were those who said to the people, you're going the wrong way. If you keep going the wrong way, you're going to get hurt. That's not what God wants for you. So you think of Moses, who was the greatest of prophets, and think of the trouble he's had with the people in the desert. But still, he used his prophetic authority because he loved the people. And in today's gospel, we have Jeremiah the prophet. And if you know his story, it wasn't an easy life. And yet he was authorized by God to say hard things to the people in order to protect them from themselves. So we're just like Jeremiah. We are prophets. We have authority directly from God to go forth and say, that's not good. That's not the way to God. That's not what God wants for you. And again, you have it because of your baptism, directly from God. And we're called to be kings in the sense of rulers who are leading people to God, not lording it over people, not saying, you know, you have to do what I want no matter what it is, but rather because we take seriously what God calls us to do, we want to lead people to Christ. So we think of David, the great king of the Old Testament. And what was he? He was a shepherd. What a great image of a great king. A king who was a shepherd, who was shepherding his people to God. That's what we're called to do. You have that authority. Have you thought about that? Do you think about that? Or the default position of many Catholics is, well, who am I to correct people? Who am I to say this? Why doesn't father or sister or deacon or the staff member do this? Well, you all have the authority to preach the gospel in word and deed, to be priests, prophets, kings. Again, that's real authority. In fact, it's the most real authority you can possibly have because it comes directly from God. So if you're baptized, you have the authority to do many, many things, to speak with authority, as did Jesus. Now, of course, we have to make sure that we're always connected with God, always listening to God, being part of a healthy Christian community. So if something comes up, we can say to our fellow Christians, hey, this is coming up in my life. What do you think about it? What do you think I should do? and then to get the support of our brothers and sisters in faith so that we can go forth and use the authority God has given us to preach the gospel message. So again and again throughout Scripture, we see these models of people who have been given authority, and they're given authority to do the work of God, and they're also given to you and me as models of who we're supposed to be. Not waiting around for God to do X, Y, or Z, but rather with God's authority to step forward in faith and do what we're called to do. A couple of weeks ago, I talked about the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We don't think that these gifts are really real. So, for example, some of you may actually have the gift of healing from the Holy Spirit. Do you know that? How are you going to find out if it's true? Except by stepping forward and trying it out. And you'll find out. You may have the gift of miraculous healing. You know, again, there's our default position for us Christians. Me? A healer? But in fact, that's what God wants. He gives us the authority to take the charisms of the Holy Spirit and to actually use them and to prioritize our lives around those gifts so that if, in fact, I have this gift, I know it, I'm connected with God, I'm part of a faithful, healthy community, there should be no problem my stepping out in faith and using that authority to do great things in the world. But Jesus himself said, before he ascended to the Father, he said, "You will do the things that I'm doing and greater things." That's the authority and the gifts of God that we have in our lives. But again, we have to take time to prioritize. What is important? What have I done to say, well, I've been spending too much time there, so that's going, and I'm going to put in its place something else, particularly prayer. Probably number one, our relationship with God. You know, we talk about it. I hear it all the time in confession. You know, I really don't pray as much as I should. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means that, okay, figure out what you're actually going to do. Write it down. And there's these worksheets to help with that. Write it down. So today, when I get up for 5 minutes, I am going to pray. I might just sit in the presence of the Lord. I might read a little bit of the scriptures. It doesn't matter. But what I'm doing is I'm saying this is important and I'm going to do it. I'm going to live what is important in my life. Now, can you imagine if more and more Catholics started prioritizing and putting away the stuff that really wasn't important and stepping out in faith and using the authority of God to preach and to heal, so forth and so on? Can you imagine the ripple effect that would have? People would say, what are those people doing? And we're going to hear that when we get to Easter. That's exactly what happened to the Christians after Easter. They realized all these things, and they did great things. And I'll be talking about that in a new series of homilies. But they were emboldened. They were challenged and charged to go forth. Well, we live after the resurrection, so we have no excuse not to realize that indeed we have been given real gifts, real authority by God to do great things in his name. So, prioritize. Today's handout is very, very brief. It's kind of a daily prioritization page where you can pick 3 things you want to do and then how much time you want to do it. But, you know, just as a way of kind of holding ourselves accountable, because that's what we need to do. Hold ourselves accountable, hold one another accountable. And if we did that more and more, we would have a life that this community brings out from each of us that is emboldened and charged and very faithful, very focused on doing the will of God. So sky's the limit, as always, with God. He doesn't put limits on what we can do. He says, surprise me. I've given you all this great stuff. Surprise me. Surprise yourself. Go forth and do great things because we have been authorized to do great things. Doesn't matter how old we are. Doesn't matter how young we are, how ill we are. In fact, I think younger people probably do a better job of this because they don't have all those thoughts, oh, I'm not worthy, I can't do this. But we all have that authority. We have the same gifts of the Holy Spirit that they had 2,000 years ago. So we have no excuses to really do great things, to take our priorities and to live them, and to do exactly what Jesus did, who is the model of one who set his priorities and lived them. We can do it just as well as he can because he has given us himself so that we can live the life of a disciple who is filled with faith, filled with joy, filled with energy, always looking for ways to go forth and proclaim the gospel message.